Well, I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons on believing Jesus. I hope you've been listening in sequence to the messages up until today. It's really better to listen line, to receive these line upon line, precept upon precept. But even if you didn't, today's lesson will be beneficial to you. I really wanted to move on today to another segment away from Mark 11. We've been in Mark 11, 22 through 26 now, I think, for quite a while. And there's three fundamental laws of the kingdom that Jesus laid down in that passage. The first one was, you must become a person that believes that what you say shall come to pass. And we studied on that, and that means that you're going to have to come to the place where you believe that the Holy Spirit and the angels, we haven't got into that yet, we will, are working with your words. That when you speak, you don't deceive your heart anymore. Even your own heart agrees, this man, when he speaks, he means what he says, and what he says will come to pass, because God the Holy Spirit with the angels are working with the man's words. And we can see that plainly. Jesus spoke to that fig tree. He didn't touch it. He didn't lay hands on it. He didn't put an axe to it. He spoke words and walked away. Well, somebody touched that tree. A combination of the Holy Spirit and the angels, but let's just say God, through his methods, he touched the tree. And the words that Jesus spoke came to pass. So, number one, your words are important. We've got to become people who believe that what we say comes to pass. The second one was, we have to start understanding the character of God the way Jesus explained the character of God. And we've been through several lessons on that. What I mean is, religion tells you that it's really hard to receive answers, and you got to storm the gates of heaven and wrestle with God to get your blessing like Jacob did. And I grew up hearing all of that. Jesus doesn't describe the Father like that at all. Not at all. He describes him more as your Father who's glad to see you. If you knock on his door, he's going to open. If you seek his face, you're going to find him. And if you ask him for stuff, he's going to give it to you. And I hope you remember the lessons about Lily Cakes. And then he started calling me Gary Cakes, so I'd start understanding that God loves me and is tender towards me and desires good things for me the same way I do for my children and my grandchildren. And so Jesus describes God very differently, and how we're to approach him very differently than religion does. Can't reteach all of that. These are in the previous lessons. So number one, what you say, the words you say, you have to become a person that believes what you say will come to pass. Second law, you got to believe you receive when you pray. Got to have the same attitude as my granddaughter when she asks me for ice cream. Trust me, she believes she receives when she prays. That ice cream's coming. She knows it's coming because she knows Grandpa. Well, we got to know our Father the way Jesus describes him, and not the way that it seems to us, and not the way that religion has taught us. Anyway, can't reteach those lessons. Number three. All of them, everything in the kingdom hinges on forgiveness. I'm going to say it again. The only reason you will be with God through all eternity is somebody else paid the price for your sins. Because of him, you have been forgiven. That's it. You have no other recourse. You have nothing else but the blood of that innocent person. You're going to be with God forever in eternity because you've been forgiven and reborn, but the forgiveness had to come first. Now, because of that, the law of the kingdom is this. You don't have any right not to forgive. You don't. Well, and again, we went through that parable where the king forgave that servant a tremendous debt that he could never repay. But then that servant went out and would not forgive another person that owed him. That, in other words, that he wouldn't forgive. But the end result was not good. He wound up being tormented. And in my lifetime, I'll just tell you again, the most miserable people I have known really are not necessarily sinners, although some of them are very sad, all right. But you can be on your way to hell and be a fairly happy sinner in a way. Sue and I were kind of like that before we got saved. But the most miserable people, and I mean really miserable, are Christians that will not forgive. They are tormented in their mind. And I mean, and they just will, you know, I've counseled with them. I've tried, they get fiery, you know, like, I will not forgive what they did, you know. Well, you do that at your own peril, because the only reason you're in the kingdom is because you were forgiven. So those three things, and that part of me wants to move on. I have many more lessons to teach. But I kept getting this check in my spirit about, and the words I kept hearing was, you have to fully possess Jericho before you can take Ai. You have to fully possess Jericho before you can take Ai. And I knew really he was talking about these first three principles. So the tendency that we have, and I didn't look up the verse, but it talks about these, you know, there's a tendency to be ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, see? And when it says knowledge of the truth, it's talking about on an experiential level, not just theory, not just something, not book knowledge, can I say it that way? Everybody can read the Bible, but not everybody walks in the truth of the Bible. See, you can hear, I need to forgive, and not forgive. Dave taught, Pastor Dave Roberson, I was blessed to have him as my pastor for so long. He taught on fasting faithfully every first quarter of the year. I sat under that for probably 20 years before it finally went, oh, I need to fast. I did a little bit, a little thimbleful, but thank God for doing the rest of what he taught, you know, meditation of the word, praying in the spirit. And finally, through that method, the Holy Spirit dawned on me one day, Gary, you need to fast. And from that day till now, I've done lots of different kinds of fasting. You know, I've done Daniel fast and juice fasts and water only fasts and short fasts like 3 day, longer 7 day, longer 10 day, some longer ones. But now in these days, for the last couple of years, he's had me on what you'd really call the fasted life. And he gave me a schedule for me. And you don't need to know it. It wouldn't be the same schedule for you anyway. But there's not a day in my life right now where I don't do some fasting. And it's been that way for a while. And sure enough, it brought benefits. But I'm saying all that to say this. You can have knowledge. Listen, I listened to Dave for 25 years. I'm a good student. I took good notes. I could have taught fasting, but I wasn't doing any to speak of. Okay. For many, many years. That's not okay. And what he doesn't want me to move on from these first three principles until I somehow got to get it across. It's not okay to know these and not do them and then think you're going to move on to the next thing. Are you just going to know it and not do it either? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Okay. He's always kind of mean to me and nice to you, so I'm going to be very transparent. I've told you, I mentioned to you several times that about 40 years ago, in 1986 and 1987, through tongues and interpretation, he said some things to me. Now, they came I wasn't very proficient. They came very piecemeal over a period of time. But I assembled them into a document that I call the Words Document. I am going to share everything. I am sharing everything in it. I won't withhold anything. All these years later, I still can't find any flaws in it from the Bible. But I can find flaws in my walking in it. Yes, sir. Okay. Very transparent. The very first thing he ever started, the reason I call it the Words Document is that was the very first thing that he talked about when he started talking to me 40 years ago. It was being careful about my words. And that he told me, and I've already shared this on a previous lesson. One of the things he shared was that he wanted, and it wasn't just for me, it's for all of his people. He wants to have that same testimony with us that he had with Samuel the prophet, where it says, God let none of his words fall to the ground. Well, don't you know that means Samuel had to be very careful about his words? And, you know, I'm not going to reteach that lesson. It's already in the previous ones. But I feel a real reluctance to move on. I'm going to give one more lesson, this one. These three laws, forgive until you can feel it. Listen to him and get instructions until you know that it's working, that there's a real forgiveness. If there's aught against anybody, work on that, okay? Just go back and listen to it. I think that was last week. Listen to that one again. Just do what it says, and then ask him for instruction if there's any particular thing he wants you to do. But work on that until you know it's working, okay? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. That's getting to know him, really. That's part of the blueprint. Come away with me, my beloved. But let's believe what Jesus said about the Father. Because he said, he said, everyone who asks receives. Did you know Jesus said that? That's in these previous lessons. But see, we have to get to where we believe that. If I ask him, he's going to give it to me. As long as it's not something that's, you know, complete violation of the Word of God. Hello, believer cakes. Lily cakes, Gary cakes, believer cakes, okay? He loves you. He's a good father. That song is right. He is a good, good father. But come to where when you seek him, Jesus said you're going to find him. If you knock on his door, if Lily comes, knocks on my door, what do you think? Come on in, girl. And when she asks me for something, what do you think? Is she going to get it? And Jesus said, you got to be that way about your father. Okay, work on that until you develop that kind of relationship with your father. But today I'm going to really come back to words, because that was the very first thing. I'm trying to put into words things that are almost beyond words. If we don't become a people that bridles our tongue, James says your religion is in vain. Just in vain. If you don't bridle your tongue, what does vain mean? Empty, powerless, nothing. So I'm going all the way back to 40 years ago. Now, the reason I'm saying this about Jericho, I heard that back then. It did have an effect on my life, but not nearly what it should have. I should have given my full attention. You know, Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, that was a word to me, and I think it's a word to you, that has to be fully possessed. He actually told me one time, he said, that what I said to you then, that is your Jericho. You're not going to move on to Ai until you fully possess Jericho. Well, the first thing that he mentioned in that was about words. So I was asking him how to present this today. See, we tend to think that our words just don't really matter, and that's why we tend to say a lot of things that we don't intend for them to come to pass. And it's not that we can't ever tell a joke. I'm sure we can. But in our day-to-day conversation, we have got to become a people that bridles our tongue so that when we speak, we believe what we say will come to pass. But we tend to think our words really don't matter. So I was asking the Lord, you know, is there something from your word that really presents that in a teachable way before we move on to anything else? Because I'm telling you right now, this is, for many of you, your words are your Jericho. It was mine. I wish I could go back now. You know, can't go back and undo nearly 40 years, but I wish I could go back now. If I could, I would focus on my words. You wouldn't. I'm telling you, I'm doing it now. Really trying to focus on my words. But if you want to see a perfect example of how important your words are, open with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage. I'm going to read this whole thing because it's so important. And besides, it's good. You know, it's good to hear the word of God. It's good, you know. All right, so Luke chapter 1, let's start in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Now notice he's a priest, which means John the Baptist, when he's born. This is going to be talking about the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is of the priestly line. That's so important, but we're not teaching on that today, now are we? Today we're talking about, do your words matter? Do your words matter? There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Okay? And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay, there was a rotation of these priests, and they had different assignments. And anyway, but he's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. We'll get into angels later. The angels are connected with words, and you're going to see that here really good. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. No telling what this angel looked like. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. 1 John. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, then we have the petition we desire of him. This angel again is letting him know, okay, your prayer has been heard. I've been sent here to answer your prayer, okay, or to bring you communication about your answer. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I mean, how specific is that? Not only, I'm letting you know, your prayer has been heard. God's answered it. Your wife in your old age here is going to bear you a son. His name's going to be John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Boy, if you don't think God doesn't have a plan even before you're conceived. Okay. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. My goodness. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of, my King James says Elias, but it's really Elijah. Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah to come. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Why? For what purpose? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Man. Now Zacharias, he's been praying for this, obviously, because the angel, first thing, in other words, Zacharias had to be praying, Lord, I'd like to have a child. We're barren. Lord, we'd like to have a child. Apparently, he's been praying for that, because the angel said, your prayer has been heard. Okay. And Zacharias, but still, so, okay, I prayed. You're telling me the Lord heard my prayer. I don't know how this could have possibly happened, because he says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? How do I know you? Okay, I'm going to say it. How do I know you're telling me the truth? Whoa. Dude. Let's don't be too hard on Zacharias. Listen. the things when the Lord starts talking to you, when you start hearing his voice, very often you're going to be, I don't see how that could happen. He told us we hardly had two nickels together, and he's going to give everything away free. And I'm going, I don't see how that could happen. Anyway, whereby shall I know this? How do I know you're telling me the truth? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And I think he got underneath this angel's, can I say, skin? I don't know if they have skin. Anyway, it irritated the angel, you can tell. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, now get this, here it is. Do you think your words are important? Thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now let's stop for a moment. Zacharias was operating almost exactly opposite of how Mary later operated. Her response was, be it unto me according to your word. She just asked how it was going to happen. She didn't say it wasn't going to happen. How is this going to happen? And he said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you and so forth. Then her attitude was, be it unto me according to your word. And okay, but here, this angel knows that if Zacharias continues with the same attitude that he's showing right there, how do I know this is the truth? Zacharias is going to be speaking words opposite from what this angel just said. And in this case, it is imperative that John the Baptist be born, just like it's imperative that Jesus, the Messiah, be born. Because John the Baptist is fulfillment of prophecy, just like Jesus is fulfillment of prophecy, and both have to come to pass. But why does the angel shut the mouth of Zacharias if words won't affect the outcome? Think about that. They will affect the outcome. In order for this to come to pass, the angel knows he cannot have this priest of the Most High God. Zacharias is a priest, for crying out loud. He cannot be speaking opposite of what the will of God is. He cannot be speaking opposite of the words delivered to him by this angel. Because if words don't matter, why shut his mouth? It's because they do matter. This has to happen. And so Zacharias is not allowed. If you're not going to speak in line with the word, they're going to shut your mouth. You're not going to say anything. God. Again, Abraham and Sarah obeyed when God changed their names, where they had to speak in line with what God said. He changed their name from Abram to Abraham, which means I am the father of a multitude, from Sarai to Sarah, which means I am the princess that will produce the heir. They obeyed. And so they said, every time they said their name, they're saying what God said about them. I know the world had to think they were crazy. Their relatives had to think they were crazy. But they did it anyway. Through that process, again, we've taught on all this, they went from laughing unbelief, which first time God told them, they laughed, both of them. You're going to have a child in your old age. Well, they laughed. So God changed their names, but they obeyed. They said every time, okay, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Sarah. I am Sarah. I will produce the heir to the throne. I'm the princess, you know. They went from from laughing unbelief to strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he was promised, he was well able to perform in all of the things that we love, you know, to teach. But it was through saying what God said that they went from laughing unbelief to strong in faith. This angel can see. And this Zechariah is not going to do that. He's going, I'm not sure this is the truth. I'm not sure this is going to happen. And he's going to be spouting off his big mouth as a priest, he is a priest, makes a difference. You're a priest too, by the way, makes a difference. If you don't think words matter, why in the world is it essential that Zacharias not speak against the will of God here? Because John the Baptist has to be born. He has to be born at a certain time. There's no time to mess around here. He has to be born first. He has to go and be, you know, sent first to prepare the way for the Lord. So much to teach there. But today's lesson is about these words. Now, I'm going to read verse 20 again. And behold, the angel speaking to Zacharias, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because, if you underline or highlight in your digital Bible, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Well, whose words were they? Messengers are angels. That angel didn't create that word, those words. God did. God is the one that answered the prayer. And he sent this angel to tell Zacharias. But Zacharias is not, he's not going to be speaking in line with the word. Now, I'm going to keep saying it until we get it. Listen. Jesus said, this all goes back, we're teaching what the king is teaching about the kingdom. Whosoever, have faith in God, he says. You want to have faith in God? You want God to work with your words the same way you see he works with my words? Did you see what happened to the tree? Did you see that I didn't touch it? I didn't lay hands on it? I didn't put an axe to it? I spoke words. But somebody touched that tree because it withered right up. Who was that? That was God. I want you to have faith in God that he will work with your words the same way you see him working with mine. In order for that to happen, you are going to have to become a person that believes what you say will come to pass. Now, in this episode here with John, it was essential that John the Baptist be born. And it was essential that he be born at a certain time. So, in this case, the angel had to literally shut up the mouth of Zacharias where he can't speak. Let's go on just a little more here. Verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Couldn't say anything. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So, okay, he's back home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. We all know how that happens. And hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth, okay, now then we get into this story with Mary, okay, where he does a, you know, similar thing. He tells Mary about what's going to happen with her. Her attitude is different. And be it unto me according to thy word. Now, we're going to pick it up again now in Luke chapter 1, verse 57, after what happens with Mary. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, no, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by that name, by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, something to write on. And he wrote, saying, his name is John. Over the period of about 9 months where Zacharias couldn't speak, He has come to a revelation. I watched my wife get pregnant. The angel was correct the whole time. Sure enough, now the baby has been born. I'm going to stick with everything that angel said. They bring him. He still can't talk. The baby's already been born. He still can't talk. And they bring him this table. See what he says the baby's name is. He said, his name is John. I agree with the angel now. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. Oh, I love it so much. God is so merciful. His mouth was opened immediately. Zacharias has repented. Zacharias has seen the power of God. He saw his wife get pregnant. He saw this baby born. The angel was right the whole time. His name is John. That's what the angel said. His name is John. And they marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed. And he spake and he praised God. Well, and fear came on all them that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And we could go on. It's so great. Now, the purpose of this lesson today is your words matter. If I could go back 40 years ago, I'm going to try and save you a lot of time. If I could go back 40 years ago, I would spend more time, way more time than I did on my words. Remember, one of the things you can do is ask the Holy Spirit to set a watch upon your lips. Help me. He will help you. What happens there is he gives you a little window. You know, you're about to say some gloriously stupid thing. You know, and if you'll pray and ask him to set a watch upon your lips, he'll do it. And right before you're about to utter these words that disagree with the word of God, there'll be a check and you'll go, oh, thank you. Yeah, on the inside, you may not say anything outside, but it's a chance to not say that. Oh, I'm going to speak in line with God's word. I'm going to give God's report. Now, there are times, you know, when you're dealing with your pastor or you're dealing with your physician, a doctor, you may have to give the natural report in order to communicate what needs to be communicated. But what we're talking about is your daily routine, your confession, what you say with your mouth. We say so much nonsensical words because we don't believe they matter. And I hope this lesson shows you once and for all how important are your words. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep saying it different ways till we get it. Why did the angel shush Zacharias's mouth? Why did he do it? Because if Zacharias would have continued to speak against the word of God, John would not have been conceived. The miracle would not have happened. Otherwise, there's no reason to do it. Why did God change Abraham and Sarah's name? Because God knew that he had to get them speaking in line with his word. God and his word are one. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing was made without him. By him, all things still consist. When I was in engineering school, all those in a galaxy far away, a long time ago, we were studying about atoms and, you know, protons and electrons and neutrons. And they showed us that the protons were all clustered together with these neutrons, you know, and that's what causes, that's the nucleus when these electrons are going around. And we know that protons are positive charge and electrons are negative charge, and they're going, well, now neutrons have no charge. So if all of these protons are together and they're all positive, somebody asked, it wasn't me, I wasn't that smart. Somebody asked the professor a question, said, well, if that's the nucleus and the neutrons don't have any charge, but the protons are all positive, what keeps, you know, we know that positive charges repel. You try and put, you know, two magnets together with the positive to positive, you can't do it. They repel. They said, well, what keeps everything from just disintegrating and flying apart? It's a good question. The professor says, we don't really know. We just call it nuclear glue. The Bible has the answer to that. He holds all things together, by him all things consist, it's by the word of his power. The only reason everything doesn't fly apart is Jesus. He is the word. He is the glue that holds everything together. His word. Oh my goodness. And he is the word. So, Lord willing, next week we'll move on to, there's many more things that we need to believe. But I was going to do it today, but I got this real check. Please take advantage of my gray hair. Please focus on becoming a person that bridles his tongue. Don't make the same mistake I did and just go on to AI and think you're going to possess that when you haven't even really possessed Jericho yet. These three laws are just absolutely fundamental, and they're laws, and you're not going to get away from it. The king has already told us this is how the kingdom works. You can think it works some other way, but this is how it works. And if you're going to have faith in God that he's going to work with your words, you're going to have to bridle your tongue. And you need to work on that. And you need to work on it a lot. So hopefully the angel doesn't have to come and make us mute where we can't speak. Hopefully we become a people that either speak the word or speak in line with the word all the time. Now we have an example, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He didn't go around trash talking. He spoke either the word or in line with the word all the time. I am the word, I am the word in you. I keep hearing that same thing again. I didn't print it out again today, but remember that day he asked me what his name was? And, you know, well, you're Yeshua, you're Jehovah. And he said, what is my name? And I went, well, you know, I started thinking of all the covenant names. You're Jehovah, Rapha, our healer. You're our banner, you're our this and that. And then he asked me a third time, what is my name? And I gave up. I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm waiting here to hear what you say. He said, I am the word. That is my name. And I am the word in you. In that he says, my word in you has no less power today, has no less power than when I said light be. When I said for light to be. And he exhorted us, I want you got to believe that I am the word in you. He chastised me in it. He says, you often, talking to me, he said, you often speak facts as though they are truth. He said, he said about himself, I never speak facts as though they are truth. I speak only truth. And he says, my word, the truth, in you, when it's believed and spoken, nothing can resist it. Nothing. No, in the context, no mountain can stand in the way. No mountain. I'm working on this myself. I don't care what stage of life you're in. Pastor Dave would say, you know, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, going into your next trial. It just means in this life, there's always circumstances, you know, different kinds of mountains. Sue and I, right now, we're facing some mountains. They're pretty big. No point in me telling you what they are. I know you already love us and praying for us. But see, my job is to, I could spend a whole hour telling you about our circumstances, you know. I'm not about to do that. I'm not about to. Because my God, okay, I don't even want to do that. Because I don't want you to infer anything. My job is to speak to the mountain, not talk to you about my mountain. See, a lot of people do that. They want to talk to you, the pastor especially. Let me tell you about my mountain. They spend all day telling you about all their circumstances. And Jesus did not say, go talk to your pastor about your mountain. Go talk to your friends about your mountain. Go to get on YouTube and whine. I shouldn't have said that probably. Get on YouTube and tell everybody about your mountain. What did he say to do? No, you speak to the mountain. You speak to it yourself as, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Sickness, lack, whatever. Whatever the mountain is, speak to that mountain. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, what I like there, that means that mountain that seems so big, it's not even going to be seen anymore. See, that's exactly what the Lord said to Moses or to the people of God about the Egyptian army. Because it looked like certain death. Here comes it. They're up against the Red Sea. There are mountains on both sides. Can't run away. Here comes the Egyptian army. And it looks like certain death. You know what God says? Oh, don't worry about them. You're not going to see them anymore, ever. And they didn't. Because they literally got drowned in the sea. They disappeared. They were gone. And you didn't see them anymore. And if you speak to your mountain and believe that what you say will come to pass, we will become a people that God the Holy Ghost with the angels will work with our words the same way they worked with Jesus' words. Otherwise, why do you think he taught us? Why would the king teach us, his subjects, knowing that he is going to heaven and we are the ones that are going to be here on planet Earth in his name to do kingdom business? Why does he teach us you have to become a person that believes that what you say will come to pass? It's so that we know that when we speak, we're either speaking God's word or we're speaking in line with God's word all the time. I'm just going to keep saying it. This is our Jericho. It was my Jericho 40 years ago. It's still my Jericho today. I thank God for the skirmishes that we have won over the time. God is merciful and great to us. But it's a miracle in a way, because I never did really go through the discipline enough to bridle my tongue to the point that every word I speak, the Holy Ghost can work with. Think about it that way. He plainly said back then, I've already taught this in a previous lesson from that words document, it's his desire for all believers that he lets none of their words fall to the ground. What if we, again, Jesus in one human vessel, well, you know, just what Jesus of Nazareth, the one human vessel, a man born of God and anointed with the Holy Ghost, just like you, born of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost. But that one man devastated the devil's harvest fields. When Jesus would come to a village, the blind saw, the lame walk, the deaf would hear, captives would be set free. Ah, devils would come out. One, the devil couldn't handle one. And what if Jesus is multiplied in a million or more believers worldwide? Talk about devastating the devil's harvest fields. And when people actually see the works of God being done, it gets their attention. That was noised abroad everywhere, see? And I'm really excited for where we're going. I really am. But the principle is this. There's no point. Do you fully possess Jericho? Really no point in going towards AI. Let's not become those people that are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That word knowledge is, I didn't look it up again, but I've done it many times before. It's the same word used when it would talk about a man knowing his wife. I mean, experiential knowledge. Intimacy. The ultimate between a man and a woman. Intimacy. On an experiential level. See? Jesus, he said, this is the work of God. I got to come down. I'll finish with this, I think. What must we do? The people asked him, what must we do that we might work the works, plural, of God? This is John 6:29. You can look it up yourself. John 6:29. And Jesus, they asked him in the plural, what must we do to do the works, plural, of God? And boy, Jesus brought it right back to the singular. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God had sent. Well, at that moment, God had sent the word in a human vessel to live among men, okay? And their job was to believe on him who was there among them. But see, since the resurrection and the new birth is available, Jesus himself is seated at the right hand of the Father in his glorified body. But God has sent him, the Word, into you. Now we are the temple of the living God. And we only have really one work, and that is to believe on him whom God has sent into us. And that's the mystery of the gospel, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, and we've got to believe that. We've got to come to the place where we believe that, and that when we go anywhere, we're like the temple of God with legs. Where we go, he goes, because he's in us. And we see that in the book of Acts so clear. You know, Peter says, well, don't look on me like it's by my own holiness or anything. No, it's that name through faith in that name. See, Peter was there. And it says all of the apostles with great power, they gave witness to the resurrection of Christ. In other words, it's Christ in them. They weren't taking credit. It's Christ in them doing the works. And that's exactly what they all heard him say that in John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And right after that, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then he like repeats himself, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I've been taking whole hours, take an hour at a time, just walking the floor, just saying that. Lord Jesus, whatever you ask in my name, you'll do it. Whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. Gary, are you seeing that like when you pray for people? Not yet. I'm not seeing that come to pass every time. Doesn't change the word though, does it? What you're going to hear me saying is, whatever I ask in his name, he does it. Why do you say that? Because he said that. That's what he said. I'm going to say what he said. Eventually, it's going to turn. You're going to start seeing more and more effects. All right. I'm going to close a little bit early today. When you're done, you're done. And I think I've said it as best I know how. We're going to go on, I believe, next week. But he wanted to just, please, don't make the same mistake I made 40 years ago. Focus on bridling your tongue. Make that your Jericho. Make that one of the... And spend time with him, do the blueprint, because it's really by knowing the character. How did Lily get ice cream from Grandpa? She knows Grandpa. She knows my love for her. We spend time together. She knows she can ask me. Come away with me, my beloved, is the message of that blueprint prophecy. Get to know him. And then if you find any unforgiveness in you, that's got to be eradicated. He will help you do it. He will help you. Ask him. He'll help you do it. I love you so much. I'm doing the best I can here. I do believe the best is yet to come. Don't worry about me. We got a lot of good ministry ahead of us. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God for that. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.